Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the 8th verse of the passage just read, which reads according to the RSV, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." From the four gospel accounts and from first the account in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 to 11, we know that the Lord Jesus appeared at least a dozen times to witnesses, sometimes to individuals, in one case to more than 500 at one time. And we know from this text in Corinthians that no one has seen the risen Lord since the Apostle Paul saw him, because he said, "Last of all, I saw him." And of course, what Paul saw was unique, since he was the only one who saw the Lord Jesus after he ascended into heaven. Now, this was not the only time that God granted the apostle a view of the unseen world. We know from 2 Corinthians 12 that Paul even saw paradise. He says that 14 years before that writing, which was probably either at Tarsus or Antioch on the Orontes, it doesn't make any difference, we are told that he experienced a rapture. Rapture can be used in a good sense. That's exactly the word. He was seized up to the third heaven, even up to paradise, and he saw things which no man was allowed to speak about. Such great ecstasy that he didn't even let himself experience it anymore, or it would work against him, he evidently means. Now, no other apostle or no other human being could it be said of that person that God blessed him with these two great disclosures of the unseen world, that Christ appeared in person and that he gave him an actual experience of the abode, of what it's like to be in the abode of the blessed. However, it is remarkable that these two incidents have two things in common, and I'd like to speak very briefly about these because they are really important for us, as not only as Christians but as future church workers, because how can we preach if we don't experience? In each case, you have a sorrow connected with this disclosure of the unseen. With reference to his appearance to Paul in exaltation, Paul says that he appeared to me as one born out of due time. The word in Greek means miscarriage or abortion. It's the only time that it occurs in the New Testament. Commentators are not agreed as to why Paul called himself this. Some think that it was an insult that was hurled at him when he said, "I'm born again." People said, "Huh, born again, you're just a miscarriage." And he accepted it. Or some think it was a term that Paul applied to himself to show his utter unworthiness. But in any case, he explains in the next verse, because he says, "You see, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Paul called himself a miscarriage because of the memory of a sin. And who doesn't have problems with that? The memory of a sin or the memory of sinfulness can be a terrible thing, can't it? But that's why Christ rose from the dead, didn't he? And if you're being bothered by the memory of a sin that you committed and it keeps dogging you, you say to yourself, I know better. I shouldn't let it bother me. Well, Paul had the same problem. Maybe one of the reasons that he retold the story of his conversion three times in Acts is because of the memory of the sin. In spite of the fact that he says elsewhere, I think it's in Philippians, "I lay those things which are past behind me." Yeah, he did, but he was always talking about this one sin. He couldn't forget it. But he admits that the resurrected Lord is the only cure for this memory. He says later on in this chapter, "If Christ be not raised, you are still in your sins." He was raised again for our justification. The resurrection of Christ, like someone has said, is the ultimate blessing, isn't it? It is the absolute assurance that your sins are forgiven. And even if you think of yourself as a miscarriage, that's repulsive, isn't it? The most repulsive thing you could think of. The risen Christ is your cure. Now, the other occasion, when he was caught up into third heaven and he saw the paradise of God, Paul said, that's really a great blessing, but lest I would get the big head about what I saw in heaven, God sent me something from hell, a messenger of Satan to buffet. If you've ever had trouble with blood pressure, you know that there are a lot of medications for blood pressure. Sometimes they give you one medication and it causes as much trouble as it cures, and so they have to give you another medication to treat the side effects of the first medication. Well, that's somewhat like this Paul's, what he saw of heaven. It was a great blessing, but God had to give him a second medication so that he wouldn't lose the first one. A messenger of hell to keep him humble, the thorn in the flesh. Maybe something like that's bothering you. Something you wish it, you just pray that it goes away, but it won't, it won't, it won't. But the great blessing that Paul speaks about there toward the end of that text in 2 Corinthians 12 is not his enjoyment of heaven, but his cheerful resignation. When he finally learned his lesson about the thorn in the flesh, he says, most gladly I'll bear the thorn in the flesh, because that's the only way that God can become effective in me. That's what we need, don't we? Besides a realization of what the resurrection really finally seals for us, that is, our reconciliation with God, we also need cheerful resignation, don't we? To accept what God sends to us. And brother, that's not easy, is it? To accept the crosses and the losses that God sends our way. But that's what Easter means, doesn't it? Christian resignation, because no matter how bad things are, you ain't seen anything yet. I mean, the resurrection and the hope of everlasting life is the ultimate hope. So from now to the end of the year, let's not crab if we have to call ourselves the least of the faculty or the least of the students, because that's what we are. Let's not crab if the students don't do what we always say, or if the profs don't always do what we say, because heaven is our home, isn't it? And may God give us the Christian resignation and the faith that he gave the Apostle Paul, and that's really having a happy Easter. May he grant it to all of us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life eternal.